Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile monkeys play. Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile, unpredictable Jacob.
Wow, welcome back, everybody. It has been a while since we've done an episode. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Could you introduce our guest today?
Oh, it's on one hand, it's very easy. On the other hand, it's very hard.
I believe.
Yeah, thank you. We have the Lisa Atkins with us today. She has been, I'm sure she's been very influential on our field of agile coaching. And I'm sure you and I, Joe, have stories about how we've been inspired or, just how often we went to Lisa's book.
I do. And we could spend 5 minutes introducing her, but I just actually want to say hi to her right now.
Yes, she's on.
Hi, Lisa.
Thank you.
How are you?
Hello. Great to be with you all. And hello, whoever's listening. I hope you have a good time with us.
So for anyone who doesn't know who Lisa Atkins is, if you have the term Scrum Master, Agile Coach, Team Coach, Delivery Lead, anything like that in your title, you might owe your current position and how it's defined to her in her book, Coaching Agile Teams. Would you say that's true, Lisa?
That makes me so nervous because
I know it's a bit big, isn't it?
I'll take the big, no problem with that. But all the ways that it's been misused, oh my word!
Yes,
see some of these job descriptions, I'm like, no, that was never meant. But whatever, one of the things about writing a book or putting anything out there is that it's no longer yours. You know, people are going to use it however they will, and it just, not much to do about that.
That's true. I read your book for the first time easily, I think 2012. Would that be right? Like was it out then? It must have been out then.
It came out in 2010.
Oh, 2010. So yes, definitely in 2012. And I remember reading it going, I didn't understand half of it. There are lots of diagrams and arches and roles and but what it did give me, the thing I took away my first round was just sort of the structure that you gave, and there were big spaces I didn't understand, but I understood why they existed. And from there, I think it just became a reference guide for me as I sort of grew into, my position as an agile coach. In addition to that, I remember organizations, because in 2012 in New Zealand, agile coaching was a very new thing. Scrum was a new thing. Even though it had existed in New Zealand, it didn't become mainstream until around then. And I remember HR people coming to me going, can you help me define a job description? And I remember me and a few other people sitting around your book using, because you do talk about like, what do you do as an agile coach? What are your accountabilities? And where do you position yourself in an organization? And so, I kind of wonder if that happened around the world as well, when people were creating job descriptions for Scrum Masters and Agile Coaches, and what do they do? What are they accountable for? Because to my knowledge, you were the first piece of literature out there that was easily accessible that really kind of stepped into that space.
Yeah, and I think it stepped into, here's the whole palette of skills and domain knowledge areas, for people who are doing agile coaching. And other books existed at that point and others have come after, but they tend to specialize in like one of those areas instead of, like just one color of the palette, which is useful, deep dive, no problem with that. But this was like the first, here's the palette of colors that you paint with in agile coaching. And then that was advanced as we did work in training and developing agile coaches into the agile coaching competency framework, which has been yet advanced more with the agile coaching growth wheel and other riffs off of that competency model, which we totally expected and wanted. That's why we made it Creative Commons.
And I think what made it also so special is that something we briefly talked before about, how the book is it's so layered with, and it's accessible for different people at different stages. I remember approaching the book. I wouldn't say I read it back to back, but I approached it at least 5 times throughout my career. And every time it's like, I don't remember this being in this book. Like, this is a new thing. Like, I had the same book. And I'm like, oh, it's there now. Oh, and that's exactly what I need.
What's crazy is that I have that same experience. I really do.
As the author, you have the same experience.
I totally do. So always, so two things. During the early part of the pandemic, I found out that the book was selling as much now as it was at its height, like maybe a year or two into its existence. And so I was like, what is up with that? And so I, you know, in some ways, I was beyond that in my career. I was doing a different kind of work with leadership teams and stuff like that. I wasn't really practicing agile coaching in the way that that book talks about it. But I'm like, okay, I have a responsibility though, because if this book's work is not done, then my work is not done. So I recorded the audiobook in 2020, which was super fun because I got to learn all the technical things about voiceover acting and, you know, sound slicing software and all that. Super fun. And then I recorded 2 programs that are 12 weeks each. And each week is like a slice of maybe half a chapter or something. Oh, cool. And then field work that you actually bring into your real work to use some of the concepts that you got, because you're right. Like, there is, number one, it's just dense. There's a lot in it. But number two, it's not just talking, the book is not just talking about new techniques and practices. It's talking about a new way of being. So my experience is that as I become a more complex human being, I see the book differently. I see the stuff in it and go like, oh, wow, that's a new layer I hadn't realized.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's almost, maybe I'm taking too big of a leap here, but it almost sounds like you're describing art. Do you know, like where you can get this different experience because it's not, you know, the art doesn't change, but you change. So the observer changes and therefore they get something new out of the experience.
Yeah, because what we're talking about in the Coaching Agile Teams book is essentially a new way of being in relationship to one's work and in relationship with each other as we develop and work, you know, produce things.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, so I think it is the place more of art than of something more cut and dry. That's just like a knowledge acquisition of maybe a novel kind of programming language or something. But that's like super interesting and everything, but it does not require you to become a new human being in order to use it well.
That's right. It's not Scrum Plop. It's the processing unit underneath it, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So maybe we can provide the link for those programs because I really wanted it to be more accessible for people. And so it's like at a price point that works for more of the world, which makes me super happy.
So what are these called again, these episodes?
They're called Coaching Agile Teams Guided Study and Practice Weeks.
Okay, we'll definitely, for anyone listening, we'll have a link.
And they're done in a cohort model. It's super sweet, like a really awesome community manager. Mm-hmm. Is on board, and so like people really get a lot of interacting with each other.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So
and yeah, you go, ahead, Joe.
Please, Jakob.
Because one thing I wanted to share, and just mainly because Lisa and I have common friend or friends, and I wanted to share a story with you, Lisa, how I got to know Colin, and I probably he heard this story multiple times. And
ooh, I can't wait.
It's partially because of your book. So I've been doing different stuff around, you know, Scrum Mastery and Agile development for many years. And then in 2013, I got my first Agile coaching role. And I jumped onto the contract and I was, you know, on top of the world. And I hated it. I hated it. And after 3 months, I was like, oh, this Agile coaching sucks. I don't want to do it anymore. No one was listening to me. No one was doing what I was telling them to do. Like, everyone else was stupid and I don't want to do it anymore. I went back to software development. And then 2015, I moved to New Zealand. I started working for a company where Colin used to work as well. And I learned that we had this Agile coach. And of course, I started projecting my failure or my troubles onto Colin. I was like, oh, he probably sucks too. And I don't want to talk to him now. And he's so tall and like, I was avoiding him. And eventually I was asked by my manager, kind of, you know, maybe someone could help you here and there. And, you know, there's Colin, he's an agile coach, maybe you want to talk to him. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to Colin. But my manager convinced me, like, well, just go and meet him. And I did. And this started, you know, a lot of interesting insights for me, and a relationship started building. And then I started reading your book, and I realized, oh, a lot of the stuff that Colin is doing, like, he's doing this stuff from the book. And I was not doing this stuff when I was in my first role. I'm like, it was not them who were stupid. It's actually me who was stupid trying to get them to do what I was thinking was right. And that's how I started growing this appreciation for the craft, but also for Colin, and how good he was in what he was doing. And that's how we started connecting even on a deeper level and discovering all other stuff around agility and how we approach coaching.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm so glad you didn't write them all.
Yes, me too. Yeah. Me too.
You know, there's been a long friendship now. And Colin, yes, and his wife Susan are good friends of mine. I got to spend Easter with them in New Zealand just last month. And boy has his skills like really taken a huge leap. He's now like this Integral Coaching Canada certified coach. Yes. He was teaching me stuff. I love it. I love it. We were just so geeking out on professional coaching and models and ways of helping people develop themselves in their adult development journey. Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I love your description of your journey, Jakob. And in some ways, it's kind of, you guys are aware of the experiment you can run at home where you can teach yourself to see more colors, right? Where you just, you know, like,
no,
you
can,
you don't know this. No. Okay, so
great.
It's just about recognition, right? So the more names of colors that you learn and you identify, the more colors you notice. And so, like, the more colors you can see.
Mm.
And it's this thing that, you know, it's that link between language and awareness that you can increase your awareness of anything. And I feel like for me, in a similar way to you, Jakob, is it's not like the book was telling you what you were doing wrong. The book was teaching you new colors that you could then observe. And that's kind of how I feel when I go back to the book, and either I get like a boost of confidence because the book is recognizing things that I've noticed myself, and so I'm like, I'm not alone, and I feel more confident to engage with that line of thinking or that line of observation, or it shows me something in between the cracks of observations that I have, be like, I've been missing that. I've been looking at the left and I've been looking at the right and I've been avoiding the middle for some reason. And oh my gosh, I actually want to spend some time and learn that color a little bit more and take a little bit notice. So totally identify with that journey, Jakob. Yeah. And Colin sounds awesome. Have I met him?
I'm not sure you have, but we should have him on the podcast for sure.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, you know, you're like, I just want to make a fine point of what you're saying. There is a feature of transformational learning or transformational environment. And one of those features is creating distinctions.
Yes.
So as soon as a distinction is created, now you have something that you used to be subject to. It was like you were wearing a pair of eyeglasses and you didn't even know you had them on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can take them off and go, oh, okay, so I don't have to be subject to that anymore. I can look at it as an object. And oh, isn't this object interesting? Because this object is not just one thing. This object is actually these other distinctions. And now I can manipulate them individually or combine them in novel ways.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and I'm gonna take where we're at here and then kind of bend it a little bit to current topic, if you don't mind. What we're all, oh, go ahead.
if you're headed toward AI.
I am. I love it. We're talking about these personal experiences and these revelations and these kind of leveling up that people do. And you know, and you talk about Colin and his journey, and that, you know, the student is now becoming the teacher in many ways. And Jakob, you're talking about these experiences where because of a person that you got to sit in front of, you were more open to growing in a different direction. And yes. I know I have many examples as well. And now we have this thing called ChatGPT, and every future that kind of points to, of which in some aspects are intimidating and in other aspects are amazing. And so what I've done over the past, you know, however long we've had access to ChatGPT, is I've taken past use cases and I've talked to ChatGPT about it and gotten its advice on what it thinks we should do in those. And everything from broad strokes down to details, how to engage, exercises to run, workshops to run. And I even try to get it to the point where ChatGPT gives us an agenda that a team could run themselves. And while I wouldn't say it's 100% what I did, I would say that it probably lands very close to the mark on it would be better than not having it. So, and this is early days, right? Like, so this is me guiding it on how to give me feedback from its big digital brain. So I guess my question is there are all these like really amazing human experiences that come with this job. What are your thoughts on AI and how it can, you know, how do you think that's going to sort of meld in with, you know, agile coaches, team coaches, people who help other people grow and become better at whatever it is they do?
Well, just in general, I've been super interested in AI and virtual reality too. I mean, like, I can't wait until we're all in some virtual reality room together and it feels like we're together.
You know, do you have an Oculus?
I do.
Oh, we should hang out.
We should. Do you play Synth Rider? I'm looking for more fun.
No, but I can.
Oh my God, it's so fun. It's like the best exercise ever. And I'm sure there's cool stuff you play. So yeah, and you know, so those technologies are moving us toward a Star Trek future. And I hope it's actually going to be more like a Star Trek future versus the many dystopian you know, projections out there. I mean, if you look at most young adult fiction right now, like for 12, 13, 14 year olds, the vast majority of young adult fiction is about a dystopian future.
Yeah.
So like we're generating it and feeding ourselves it, basically. And AI is certainly a potential force in creating a dystopian future. But for right now, I'm really enjoying using it, even though I was hanging out with my friend who worked at the Getty Art Museum, and she was like railing against AI making art. And I'm like, oh gosh, all of the images in my latest keynote were made by a DALL-E too.
It's out of the bag now.
Oops, whoops, everyone. No, I am like a stickler for my sources, especially on images. So, I mean, it says it on every image. Like, I'm not trying to hide it. But I mean, the thing is, and I've been using Jasper AI for the last couple of years to tighten up writing and stuff like that. So I think these are interesting tools. Now the place where I work is in adult human development, because that's so intersected with the identity crises that Agile puts people in.
You expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So I would submit to you all that Agile, as a new way of not only working, but a new way of thinking about work, puts people at developmental edges. In other words, it takes them beyond, Jakob, you just have the example of your own self. It takes them beyond where they're comfortable operating.
Oh, truth.
Right?
It is the opposite of comfort in a lot.
Absolutely. And that itself is a journey of adult human development, because what Agile is a response. I think of it this way. I think of it as a brilliant emergent response to the complexity of the times we're in.
Right.
And so it helps us work with complexity as it is, instead of having to ignore it or dumb it down or go to a simplified known case. We can actually still make progress in the midst of all this complexity and uncertainty and ambiguity, blah, blah, blah. Right.
In fact, to some of us, yeah, the complexity might even become an addiction. Like in the sense of like, I would rather work in a chaotic, complex environment than an orderly, predictable one.
For sure. And the number of orderly, predictable ones are becoming scarcer and scarcer.
Yes.
I mean, that's the arc of development, is toward more complexity and human beings developing their own mental complexity to be more of a match for that. So we keep getting outpaced by the complexity of the world we're creating. And then as social animals, we have to catch up.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this is my point about AI creating a dystopian future. I think AI is cool. I think AI could do wonders. All exponential technologies, making homes out of dirt and 3D printers. Amazing, right? Cool. Like all of these could create amazing things for human beings on the planet. And are we complex enough beings to use them well? I would say not, based on how we used Facebook.
Or how Facebook used us. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like totally. Like Facebook, Twitter, all these things were simple. These were simple experiments into a collective marketplace, if you will, or, collective conversation. And we didn't use them very well, in my opinion.
So as someone who's, you're obviously like leaning into technology, which as someone who does so, also awesome. But you've been using, like you said, Jasper AI and a few other things just already, even before it became more mainstream than it is now. What do you see, like, so as someone who's working with teams and trying to incorporate coaching into their style, where do you see the opportunities for where we are right now in using this sort of technology? How can it save time without missing part of the journey, I guess?
Yeah. I've been super interested in what would an agile coaching app be like. And my example is a few years ago, I used an app called Noom, N-O-O-M.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yes.
Develop better healthy eating habits and lose weight, be stronger, all that sort of stuff. And it was like the third or fourth interaction with that thing. It's like, I'll be damned. This thing is doing cognitive behavior therapy in an app and it's working on me.
Mm. Awesome.
It's absolutely working. And so I thought, if that could happen in an app and at the scale of like how many people could come into this, and they also have these, like in Noom, they have human interaction too. So it's not just what the app is feeding you. Like, I think there are some real opportunities for agile coaching apps that could have a lot of those same characteristics. It's not something I'm going to create, but hey,
this isn't the launch of your new product that's coming out in a year, is it?
Totally not. But I think it's really interesting because I think that there are regrets I have that we didn't get sort of the kernel of and the essence of the goodness of Agile out into the world fast enough to make enough of a difference when this tsunami of traditional organizations started taking Agile up.
That's right.
And so
when the demand reshaped the act.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, if we can use some things to reach way, way, way more people and uplift way more people, even if it's just a little bit, well, that might be a really good thing.
Yeah, and so let's imagine we do have these apps, and we do have ChatGPT and all the other beautiful tools we can use for good. What's going to happen with agile coaches? Like, how do we show up now in this world? Like, go on.
I mean, so far, none of these AI tools can do what humans do best, which is be in relationship with each other. Mm. I mean, be in real relationship with each other, be in an empathetic space where something generative, something new arises from the relationship.
The future of humans is relationships. I kind of love that. It's like, as technology becomes bigger, the value of just the simple humanness of ourselves becomes greater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Because I'm pretty sure that something like ChatGPT can learn over time to ask a provocative question. Sure. I mean, that could happen.
Yep.
But in my experience, when I am using professional coaching skills with someone and I am really listening with every intelligence I possess, my experience is that the pivotal question, the thing that's going to help them unlock something they've never unlocked before, it actually drops into the space between us. And my only job is to be courageous enough to ask it.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, while AI can't do that, that's the place for us to play.
I love it. So, Lisa, we've talked about sort of the origin. We've talked about where coaching is now and how it's intersecting with technology. With your permission, where do you see the potential of agile coaching in the future?
Well, very few people know this. My number one strength on the Strengths Finder assessment, whatever personality thing, is futuristic. I am constantly thinking about the future. And I'm paying attention to global trends. And my forecast is that things are going to get worse.
Worse in what sense?
Worse than they are right now. That we're going to start to experience systemic shocks, the likes of the pandemic, but more and more frequently. And they will come in as a climate catastrophe. You know, they'll come as a cyber war. They'll come as any and all kinds of things. We talked about dystopian futures that are being sourced in young adult books. Well, of course we're sourcing that.
Yep.
Of course we are,
because we're preparing for something.
Because the train has left the station.
And so in this future, mm-hmm. which does not sound like Disney World,
no.
Where does the skill set sit? Where does the agile coaching skill set, the core of where that sits next to another human being or human beings, where does that sit in your future?
Well, we have that aspect of it, but we also just have what agile frameworks give us for free, which is their ability to metabolize change again and again and again and again.
I like that, metabolize change.
Yeah, like get the nutrients from it, stop being afraid of it, go ahead and take it in, like, you know, and still make progress while all this change is happening. And so I think those are that what the frameworks give us for free, and then also the depth of our beingness as a community, I think those two things could be super useful for people who are already working on some of these huge, immense planetary challenges, like climate catastrophes, like disaster response, like the rise of extremism, and what we might do to lift people out of poverty so that they're not so much victims of extremists. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we could do as agilists that would matter more perhaps than getting the next credit card offer out better or faster for a bank, for example. And well, we spend so much time that. Doing that.
It's really easy for me to imagine the credit card scenario. It's very easy for me to imagine, you know, rejigging infrastructure for a large organization. It's really easy for me to think of product development. Do you, in this picture, in this future that you're talking about, are there any, because, you know, the future is always now, like it's just not always all at once. And so are there people leading the way in this future that you're talking about? Like, could you have any examples of people that are already working in these spaces?
Yeah, there totally are. I feel like 2023 is the year of the beginning of this movement of agilists working on planetary challenges. And it's not that we have to go out and invent how to work on them. We just need to join up with the people who are already working on them, because those people don't have the benefit of our knowledge, the way we can metabolize change, the way we can help them become more effective at what they're doing. And shoot, I really want them to be more effective. So yeah, I would direct people to agilityimpact.org. It is a a place where stories are being collected about Agilists who are working on some of these huge, huge issues. Like one I can think of is Anu Gopald. Her mission is to lift millions of girls out of prostitution in Africa. And one of the ways she's doing that is to teach them Scrum and to teach them basic skills that they can go get a job so that they have more options than their family selling their bodies so that they can eat.
Wow.
And that is an incredibly successful. I mean, Anu is just carrying this thing on her shoulders and her back right now, and she could totally use more people to help her in this.
So she's using it as like a problem-solving framework. Yeah.
Kuber Shirazi is another one that you can read his story on agilityimpact.org. He's from Pakistan and noticed the incredible devastation from the rise of extremism and suffered some personal catastrophes travesties, or there's another T word, but whatever it is, it was bad. It was a bad situation for him. And he said, okay, so how can I take my product development agility expertise and help here? And so he pulled together microloans. He pulled together a mini MBA program that he created himself that had agility at its core, like the agile framework and principles at its core. And he was able to marry those things to have people start businesses. Because when people start businesses, they are less prone to following an extremist leader.
Right, because they've got their own
thing going.
They're invested in something greater than themselves.
Right, and like he's created a blueprint for doing this that he's giving away free. He's like, take it, everyone. Take it and use it in your context.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So agilityimpact.org.
Yeah, agilityimpact.org. There's also a meetup that Joanne Stone is kind of... She has a community, but busy bee. She's buzzing around everywhere, getting stories and pollinating other flowers. And she also hosts a monthly meetup. And people from all over the world join these meetups to hear these stories and to talk with each other and to find each other. Because people, you know, once we realize that we can actually make a positive impact on these planetary challenges, people then ask the question, how do I start? Or does anyone else care about this thing that I care about? And so this is one of the ways that people are getting started and getting paired up together in small groups.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And this reminds me actually, you know, because I do go back to how do we start as an agilist. I'm now, I want to do this. I want to do all the good things for the world and solve the important problems. And it reminded me of when I was working for one of the New Zealand companies. I was working in the digital team, but then I also just remembered that I can't remember how. I think it was just requests that came from our sustainability team, and they asked for some coaching, and I was like, "Yeah, I can do it." And actually, I was mind blown how open they were to talk how they work and how they wanted to change how they work. Very small team. Four people, you know, very distinct roles, not much understanding of, you know, T-shaping or this sort of stuff, but they wanted to work better together. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my best experiences of working with a team and also learning about the things they were trying to solve and why it was hard and sometimes it was easy, how they were approaching sustainability. It was really, really a joy to work with them, you know, so maybe that's one of the ways someone's wondering, you know, maybe find sustainability team in your company or whoever and see how you can help them.
Yeah. Or bring the sustainability conversation to whatever team you're working now, because most people don't know the second leading contributor to climate change is information technology. I mean, like all of these cloud farms.
Cloud, yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, my God, we are like chewing up the world with IT. And so Jutta Eckstein and Sabine Candid, and also Inez Garcia, these are three people who have written books and have programs and are trying to beat the drum of, hey, just bring it into your current work, because these are things that need to be considered for every product we're developing. It isn't just the sustainability or part of the organization that needs to be thinking about sustainability. It's us agilists. And if we have the insight that this is an important aspect, then it's our job to bring it in.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Hey, before we end, three questions for you. So past, present, future. For people just starting their Agile journey as a incorporating coaching into their existing role, becoming a coach, a scrum master, what is a word of encouragement you can give somebody at the beginning?
If it feels hard, you're doing it right. Don't worry about that. This is a whole new way of thinking about working. It's not just replacing one widget with another.
All right. Now, imagine somebody in the middle, not that we ever know what the middle is at the time, but in the middle of their Agile journey, maybe like 3 to 5 years into it, what's a word of encouragement you have for them?
Take care of yourself and keep going. We are ushering in this whole new way of working, and we've been at it for 20 years, which feels like a long time, but it's actually really short when you consider the big shift we're involved in all over the world.
Thank you. And then last is the people who've been leaning into this for a decade or more. Any words of encouragement for them?
Look out around you and see what population is not being served. Go find a way to serve them.
I love it. Well, that's it for us for time. Thank you so much, Lisa, for taking the time to share your thoughts on the past, present, and future.
I love that. Thank you. That was nice you. To see, like, to allow myself to just say something and see what came out.
We love it.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been another episode of JoCup. We hope to meet you again in the future.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.